Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey, Patrick. I have a trip coming up where I'm driving to Bowie.
Oh, really? What do you think you'll listen to in the car?
Probably some David Bowie. Hey, Patrick, it's Friday.
It is Friday. Happy Friday, Jim.
Happy Friday. And I wanted to ask you a question, because you're an older fellow.
Yeah.
You remember when Johnny Carson used to be on The Tonight Show?
Sure.
Do you remember that?
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
I can remember that was mostly when I was a kid, well, into young adulthood, I guess.
But same here.
I can remember sometimes, like, hearing it. Like downstairs in the house, you know, parents were up and they were watching The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. And back at that time, there were so few, like, any shows on TV that it was, like, exciting. That was an exciting show.
Exactly.
And so then you sort of, like, used me to, like, kind of sneak out of the bedroom a little bit and get, like, right by the stairs so you could just, like, hear it.
Yeah.
Right? Anyway. Those were the days. Anyway, my point of this is they used to do a thing on that show called Stump the Band.
They did.
Right? With Doc Severinsen.
I remember that.
And he'd go out into the audience. Johnny would go out in the audience and somebody would mention some obscure song. And
see if they could play it.
And they'd always, like, be like, oh, yeah, we know that song. Yeah. And then they would play something else entirely or make up something on the spot. Like, that was it, right?
Yeah.
And then, no. Anyway, it was called Stump the Band. It was really fun. And I bring this up because on this episode of Rock in the Suburbs, I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
When we're doing Perfect Pop Week, we have three picks here from a listener, and I had not heard any of these songs until today. So he stumped me.
Stumped the band.
Yes.
Yeah. Stumped the
I'm not even going to try to make it up.
Yeah. Right. No, because how could you?
I don't know about you. You can tell me a little bit later if you were familiar with any of these bands.
But, only one.
But let's get to this. It's Stephen Routledge.
Yes.
And he did a cool thing. He didn't call the number and leave a message, which you can totally do, the Suburban Party Line.
Yeah, we
encourage
like
that.
Mm-hmm.
He actually, like, recorded his voice and sent us MP3 files through email.
I'd love that.
So it's really nice.
Do that.
There's actually two of them here.
Okay.
So let's start with the first one here.
Jim and Patrick, greetings again from Scotland. Thanks for the shout out and a great discussion regarding formats after my previous email. I thought perhaps I could add my 2 pence worth to your ongoing Perfect Pop series. Rather than do an Echo Park Jimmy and clog up the answering machine, I thought I'd record my call and send it to you. Also, not sure if the Suburban Party Line works transatlantic. I've got a couple of suggestions for you. The first is Summer from IMI by Nuclear Valdez. I wasn't aware of this song until a few years ago when it was an online recommendation. I understand it may have been a radio hit in the US, but I don't recall ever hearing it over here in 1989. There are many things I love about this song. Firstly, it has a great Neil Young style chord progression, like a more rocking and less earnest version of Mr. Jones, which of course it predates. It has what should be essential for any perfect pop song, that is a hummable tune. Finally, I love the guitar solo, which, whilst not flashy or technical, fits the song perfectly, as all solos should. What was it that Tom Petty, I believe, said about Mike Campbell? Something along the lines of, he may not have played the most notes, but he never wasted one either. I think that applies to this song. My second choice is Strangers When We Meet by David Bowie. Now, I remember contacting you on the old show when he died, saying that for me he was on the Mount Rushmore of rock, along with Elvis, Dylan and the Beatles. My theory was that everyone who came after them was influenced by them in some way. Anyway, that's another whole discussion. Strangers When We Meet was originally recorded and pretty much buried, I guess, on the soundtrack to BBC TV adaptation of The Buddha of Suburbia, the novel by Hanif Qureshi. Maybe realising what you had, it was then re-recorded and put onto the end of his 95 concept album, Outside, and released as a single. It only scraped into the top 40 at about number 39. I think this song fits right into the heroes and absolute beginners mould. You put this song out in 83, 84, and I think it's a monster hit. Just listen to the bass line that gets the song going. Also, I love the Mike Gershon sort of grandiose, Aladdin-sane style piano work. I'll put it in my top 10 Bowie songs of all time, easily. On the subject of Bowie, you should definitely check out his live Bowie at the Beeb version of Let's Dance from 2000. It's a much better version than the 83 original. It's not on Spotify. See my previous email. It was a limited edition extra disc that came with the 2-disc 68 to 72 set. But it is on YouTube. Final note, after hearing your show about phone songs this week, I used to work with a guy back in the 90s who was a big punk and new wave fan. His answer my phone message went something like this: "Sorry, I can't take your call right now. Please leave a message after the tone." The undertones. At which point it fired straight into Teenage Kicks. Thought you kind of like that. Anyway, that's enough for now. Keep rocking the suburbs every day.
All right, and thank you, Stephen.
Oh, man, that was amazing.
There's actually a second audio file that he sent us. We'll get to that in just a moment.
Okay.
With another perfect pop pick. But let's talk about these two first, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So the first one he mentioned was Summer by Nuclear Valdez. That?
No, course. Never heard it.
No, I just heard it today too.
Yeah.
Although, you know, Stephen mentions that he thought maybe it was a radio hit in the U.S. I don't really remember that song.
No, I don't remember that either.
1989. Yep. Mm-hmm. I just looking it up online. It there was a mention that it got apparently a fair amount of MTV play back then, but I probably wasn't watching a lot of MTV in 1989, so I don't remember that.
Right. Yeah. But I can understand the sound, right? The sound is kind of that time,
yes,
too.
Yes, totally.
And I love the concept, too, of rain in the summertime, right?
Yes.
Most summer songs are like, it's the beach, and it's hot, and it's sunny, and you're relaxing, and it's living is easy, and the cotton is high. But this is great, that it's raining, and let it rain all summer, and I don't want to go outside. It's kind of cool.
Well, what the song is really about, though, is has to do with the Cuban Revolution.
Oh, I didn't know that.
1959.
It mentions
that.
A different way.
Yeah. So I don't think the rain in this case is necessarily a good thing.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I didn't get that.
Nuclear Valdez is or was out of Miami. Mm. And apparently members of the band were children of Cuban refugees.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's kind of heavy.
Shut my mouth.
Apparently, they were going for kind of an alarm sort of
I
vibe, right? Doesn't
that
sound like, which is funny, because you mentioned rain in the summertime. Yeah. That was an alarm song.
It was?
Yes.
Yeah.
But
we hit upon something.
There's a little bit of jangle in there, I think, but also that kind of striving for that sort of social conscious anthem type
quality
to
that.
It, right?
Yeah. Okay. Exactly. Yeah. I was taking it more as a love song, you know. As a guy was sad about what was happening in circumstance and just was, down on the on everything and let it rain. So maybe it works on both levels. So that's a good pick.
There you go. So the other song you mentioned there was a David Bowie song.
Bowie.
Yes. Called Strangers When We Meet, which wasn't one I was familiar with.
No, this me
is,
neither.
This is a 90s era Bowie, and it's actually been recorded twice. As you mentioned, there's an album called Buddha of Suburbia, and then there's another one called Outside.
Well, I knew of Outside.
Okay.
Didn't know about the first one.
So let's play that version, because that's the one that actually was released as a single.
now seems so thin and frail. Slinky secrets, hotter than the sun. No peachy prayers, no trendy recipe. I'm with you, so I can't go on. All my violence, raining tears upon the sheets. I'm bewildered, for we're strangers when we meet. Flat screen TV, greening ourselves. No, forget my name. But I'm over you. Blended sunrise, and it's a dying world. Humming Rango, we scavenge up our clothes. All my violence, raging tears upon sheets. I'm resentful for where strangers were complete.
I love the just sort of driving beat with it, and
yeah.
And the thing that Bowie did, I thought, just incredibly well, was it just there's sort of an understatedness about the song, right? It just sort of you almost think he just sort of walks up and sings it, right?
Yeah.
like it's kind of effortless, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it was interesting what Steven said about, like, he realized what he had and then he sort of put it on another album or like re-recorded a version of it.
Yeah. Right.
Like maybe it was an idea tossed off and that's how good he was. And then, oh, I got to make something more out of this because it's really cool. Right.
Right.
And you know, that whole album, the Outside album, also would found Bowie and Eno getting back together and kind of working together on stuff. And but that was not part of this. This is something that happened beforehand. And he just kind of, you know, re-recorded it and added it to the record. So just shows Bowie's genius.
It does have a bit of that sort of Heroes era, sound too,
that's
right?
That's what I hear right away. Heroes is the antecedent, I would say.
Yeah. Very good. Good pick.
Yeah, very cool.
Okay. Steven emailed again with another audio file.
God bless him.
And let's hear that one.
Hi, Jim and Patrick. Stephen Routledge here again over in Scotland in the UK. Greetings. I've got another perfect pop for you. The song in question is Not Alone from the 1998 solo debut People Move On from the former Suede guitarist Bernard Butler. If you're not familiar with this track, I'm not sure how big Suede were in the over in the US, but they were certainly a big deal when they came out in the UK. And this track is it's like a joyous Phil Spector Wall of Sound inspired blast of retro pop rock, and it could have been released from any time really, from the 1960s onwards. The strings, the Bixby tremolo, guitar work of Butler, plus the fact that the song actually comes to a clean stop rather than opting for the fade out, which a lot of songs do and always annoys me, will make this a perfect pop in my mind. The album was quite a departure following his messy exit from Suede. It had featured none of the glam or the seedy atmosphere of Suede's eponymous debut or their masterpiece Dogman Star. Suede were never the same, and whilst Butler had some success with his solo album and more famously with David McCalmont, none of his solo work ever reached those heady heights of the days in the early to mid-90s when Suede were the most exciting band in Britain. Again, how much of that reached you guys over the pond, I don't know, but at the time, they were a very exciting band when they broke onto the scene. This song actually came a few years after he did his work with David McCalmont, and whilst Butler's own vocal work is nowhere near his partner on, most famously on Yes, it takes the retro stylings and Phil Spector sound and just turns it all up to 11. Not Alone, it never fails to lift my spirits, even if the lyrics are a bit more ambiguous than the title and the sound would lead you to believe if you actually sort of dig in and either read the sleeve notes or listen to the lyrics there. On a side note, and apologies to Jim, the next track on the album, When You Grow, also has a bit of French horn action there. It's a song that'll either have fathers of daughters finding they have something in their eye, or perhaps finding the whole thing a bit too sentimental. Has a French horn, again, according to the sleeve notes, played by a guy called Richard Bissell. It can get a little lost in the wall of sound mix, but you can hear it clearly at 0135, 259 and 429 in the song. Thought I'd mention it as the French horn has become an occasional theme on the show. A final thought, and I know I'm pushing my luck here, but EPJ is an inspiration to all us callers. I'm recording to this message to you on the 22nd of August. It's 2 days after Teenage Fan Club announced that Jerry Love will be leaving the band after the October-November run of shows. I'm seeing them at the Barrowlands in Glasgow. It's that 14th show that I mentioned in the previous email. It's a great, great venue. Really good atmosphere you get there. It's an old dance hall, so I believe it has the wooden floor is sprung. So when it's bouncing, it's really bouncing. I was surprised how sad this announcement made me feel with the breakup of the band. Although the band have announced they are going to continue without Jerry, just because of the democratic nature with the songwriting and the sort of vocal duty split equally between Raymond, Norman and Jerry. It just won't be the same without Jerry, I don't think. And they're continuing to have a tour to Australia and New Zealand next year. But apparently Jerry didn't want to go, and this was the reason that I decided to go their separate ways. Given that they're my favourite band of all time, and I just, yeah, they just speak to me in a way that other music just can't sometimes. I was just surprised how affected I was by that. Sort of, they've been together for so long, and now they're coming to a stop. But it also got me thinking as well that some bands change personnel all the time. Yeah, but there's quite often there's a core that defines whether it's the band or not. For example, you can't have the Stones without Mick Jagger and Keith Richards. But you can have other personnel. The guitarist has changed multiple times. Obviously, Bill Wyman left. Charlie Watts is an integral part of the band, but as long as you had Jagger Richards, you could still call it the Stones. Guns N' Roses, for example, they carried on after Slash left, but for most people's minds, it's not really Guns N' Roses unless they've got Axl and Slash. Smiths, Morrissey and Marr, without those two, again, it's not really the Smiths. So I wonder if there's any thoughts out there on bands that have lost key members and actually got better. My first initial thought would be the Stones after Brian Jones's death. When Mick Taylor came in, you look at the run of albums and music they put out after Brian Jones. That's their absolute peak of stuff going through there. Anyway, I'll be in Glasgow in a couple of months singing myself hoarse to Sparky's Dream, Star Sign, et al., and hoping it won't be the last time that I see Jerry sing them. Thanks for listening to my ramblings, and keep rocking the suburbs every day.
Okay, that started as a perfect pop call and went from there.
Went into a Teenage Fan Club eulogy, which is beautiful.
EPJ style, which is fine. We like that.
Yeah, we love when listeners shout out to other listeners.
Yes.
It's probably the best thing.
So do you want to talk about Teenage Fan Club for just a moment before we do the perfect pop?
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I think Steven's point's really well made. There are always those core members that form a group that make the magic happen, and sometimes you can be supplemented by other people, but hopefully he's right. Won't be the last time Jerry sings those songs. And I think another special band that we probably haven't talked about on Rock in the Suburbs. Yeah. Although I know we're both big fans.
Yeah. So let's consider that for future time.
I think
right?
There could be a week.
Interesting, too, that he mentioned bands that have sort of core members that, you really couldn't call the band without. His examples were all singers and guitarists. Do you notice that?
Yeah,
and
that's true.
That's pretty much
that's
right?
Very true.
That tends to be what people consider to be the core of the band in rock and roll, right?
Although I can think of The Who, when Keith Moon left the band, really wasn't the same.
That's absolutely true.
They put out a couple good records. I mean, Face Dances, I think we both agree, is kind of underrated.
And as we mentioned, Led Zeppelin, when John Bonham died, they just said, that's it.
That's
it's not Led Zeppelin anymore.
Right.
And they've done a couple little reunion-y things here and there, but they're not, they don't consider themselves the same band.
But early on, Stephen raised a question. Does the party line work transatlantically?
I don't know.
I don't either. I have no idea.
That's why he sent this over in a bottle.
That's right.
Message in a bottle came across the ocean.
It's a 3-minute message.
Yes.
Echo Park Jimmy, if you ever move overseas, you still got 3 minutes.
Yes. Okay, well, let's get back to the perfect pop here. This was another song I was not familiar with. Bernard Butler, formerly of Suede, and this is the song Not Alone. That's just a powerful song.
Yeah, it really is.
Just, Stephen mentioned, you know, Phil Spector-ish, right? You know, that Phil Spector, Brian Wilson school of, you know, studio craft. And it's just very lush, very rich, and but also like super catchy, right?
Now, this is the one song of the three I knew.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was actually early on in my music writing career, I was assigned to review this album, which is the debut solo album from him.
Right.
You know, after he broke from Suede. And to answer Stephen's question, no, they weren't a very big deal in the United States.
No.
They were like a second tier sort of Britpop band, right?
Right, right.
Is that how you'd put it?
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
I mean, there was Oasis and Blur.
Yeah.
And then sort of others.
Yes.
They were sort of fit into the others. But
then you got kind of confused about who they were.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you listen to Suede, then you had some cred, I think.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. And I think there was a small sort of hardcore following of the band over here. And when they played here, I remember it was at smaller places.
That's excellent.
Yeah, amazing. And thank you, Stephen, so much for taking the time to record that.
Yeah, very good.
Now, when you record an MP3 on your own, there's no time limit.
See, that's how he gets away with it, right? That's what he figured out, the loophole.
That's right.
Also, when you record an MP3 on your own and send it to us and it sounds good, that makes us think that you might be good person to tap for when we do our guest episodes.
Absolutely.
When we need a week off, right?
Mm-hmm.
So think about that, Stephen.
Yeah, we have 4 weeks paid vacation and we have to take use it or lose it.
Exactly.
That's the way it works.
Yeah, HR is very strict on that.
Yeah, they really are.
All right, let's get out of here.
Cool.
Please send us your perfect pop.
Do that.
Nominees, you can email us an MP3, rock@suburbspod.com is the email address.
Love that.
Or you can call 612-440-1984.
Mm-hmm.
If you prefer to write, you can use that email address or find us on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram at suburbspod.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's a lo-fi easy way for someone to record an MP3, Jim? What would you recommend?
Well,
you can do the voice memo on your iPhone as long as you're in a quiet room, though.
Yeah.
You don't want to have any ambient sounds. Like literally, if you can go in a closet, it actually works really well.
Does work very well.
Right. Yeah. What else is good?
Well, you have to sign up for my seminar to get that information.
It's free at the Holiday Inn.
Yeah. No, I think you can record on QuickTime on a Mac. You know, if you especially if you have, the earbuds with the microphone right?
I think you can record into there. I think you're right.
And there's probably an equivalent of that on Windows, some kind of recording mechanism.
And Audacity's free. You can download that and probably record into there too. We don't have instructions on that.
You can always get one of those old tape recorders where you have to press play and record at the same time.
You send us a cassette in the mail, we will deal with that. Oh, that'd be even better.
That'd be the best.
Yeah, that'd be really good.
So find one of those. The micro cassette too. That was the journalist friend back in the day.
I have one around here somewhere.
Yeah,
empowering our listeners. That's what we do here at Rock in the Suburb.
All right, we're running out of time here. Our machine is about to cut us off. So listen again
every day.
Listen next week. We'll talk about something. We don't know what yet.
No.
It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster,
and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Bam, 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 bam. Bam, bam.